In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the early years of the pontificate of St. John Paul II, he exhorted the faithful throughout the world to what he himself termed the new evangelization, a term that actually had its origins in some of the writings of St. Paul VI, but truly popularized not only by the words of St. John Paul II, but by his actions. He went out to the world, by all accounts, the most traversed human being in the history of mankind, having gone back and forth throughout all the continents on multiple occasions in the long time of his pontificate. And at first glance, one would seem to celebrate this reality. After all, evangelization is a good thing. The stirring up of the heart to be open to the things of God, the setting a fire and a blaze in the lives of individual men and women, this desire to come to a deeper knowledge of Christ, his church, and his truths. But not long after the death of St. John Paul II, and then under the pontificate of Benedict XVI, and the trend continued under the pontificate of Francis I, the church seemed to quickly fall into hard times. That energy and that fervor seemed to very quickly dissipate and disappear. And those hearts that were ablaze with God somehow grew tired of doing the things of God. Or those hearts that were set on fire for the things of Holy Mother Church did not know or understand what it is that Holy Mother Church taught about herself, both currently and in her history. And so it reveals to us, in the manner and in the reality in which we find ourselves today, that evangelization is a good thing, but is not the only thing. And in truth, oftentimes we are berated by our separated brethren because we don't evangelize. We don't go door to door. We don't stand on street corners and proselytize. Our liturgies, appropriately so, are not known by histrionics or by mechanics or by all sorts of fire and brimstone and all sorts of realities that somehow excite us. But as soon as they're over and the excitement is over, so is the ability to practice and live the faith. Because truthfully, living of our Catholic faith isn't always an exciting reality. It isn't always, you know, some type of, if you will, light show that is constantly going off, or a roller coaster that we get on and off that excites and titillates, and we have to keep going on the roller coaster over and over and over again. We mistake evangelization, this fervor, this fire, for the histrionics of Protestantism, where they rock and roll and scream and gesticulate. And those things are interesting for a time, but they're not sustainable. We're not called to fall to the ground and froth in spirit. We're called to sustain and live day in and day out, especially in those moments when it is not exciting or glamorous or interesting. The day after day, moment after moment, year after year, decade after decade, same thing in season and out of season. Evangelization, of course, by the wisdom of the church, leads to catechesis, a growing of knowledge of God. And then catechesis leads us to praxis. So I fall in love with God, I learn about God, and then I live God. That is the direction of our spiritual lives and what it is we are called to do. And this is, in a very real way, the underpinning of St. Paul's exhortation to the Corinthians. He certainly is speaking about that which he himself has received. And in the humility that God has engendered into him, he understands that he is nothing but a humble servant to this truth that has been revealed to them. But he reminds them that I recall to you what has been taught. I recall to you what it is that you have learned. Because then in learning it, your life should correspond, and then you should go and do it. It is not enough just to simply fall in love with God and then walk away from him, or be set on fire by the glamorousness of our Catholic faith, the smells and bells of our liturgical realities, but then our daily lives simply do not correspond to this. And we know this is true, brothers and sisters, precisely because where the church finds herself today, many people come, very few actually stay and engage. And those who do stay oftentimes have crafted something, created something that is convenient and interesting for them so that they can turn on and off the practice of their faith depending on how it touches their hearts or titillates their appetites, but doesn't truly allow them to live rightly in the sight of God. Yes, my heart is on fire for the Lord. But that fire doesn't simply burn brightly and then burn out. It must be sustained by knowledge of God, learning and growing day after day in our faith. And then that knowledge of God leads then to me living out my faith, which means concretely and practically, especially in those moments of difficulty, strife, and struggle. I truly believe that the divisions that now seem to permeate every fabric of the life of the church come not because people have serious theological disagreements with each other. They simply have grown tired of not being able to do what it is that they want to do, and so they pick up their ball and they go and play in another court. Or they simply abandon the game altogether to come up with something that is more interesting and more engaging. But the life of faith, growing in holiness, is a project that is not only day in and day out, it is a lifetime. It's done in quiet and in secret, where no one sees you, no one applauds you, no one gives you a gold star for doing the very things that you are required to do. How has it come to pass that we stand before God and expect to be congratulated because God chooses to have relationship with us, as if somehow we are the ones who should be thanking God instead of, or rather God thanking us instead of we thanking Him? No, brothers and sisters, the life we lead, this life of faith, requires receiving from God and then passing on that which we have received. And the best way to pass on the gifts that have been given to us is to live our lives well in God. Today, Holy Mother Church celebrates the life of St. John Marie Vianney, the great confessor, truly the confessor in the life of Holy Mother Church. And what we know about him and what it is that he did in that tiny little hamlet of ours, in a time when faith had been abandoned and it was hostile, a man was hostile to the truths, the faith. He went about the business of healing, forgiving sins, and being a man of prayer. Especially when he himself was assailed by Satan, constantly tempted to doubt. When he was resisted by those who taught him or those who were in charge of him. When he was mocked, belittled, ridiculed by his very parishioners. And by the time he had died, literally hundreds of thousands of people had journeyed to that place to have their confessions heard and their souls saved. This was a man whose heart, we know, truly was on fire for the Lord. He loved the Lord deeply and completely. And we know that not because he ran around screaming from the top of his lungs, "I love the Lord," because he went about the business of doing the things of God day after day after day, in the most difficult and arduous of situations, in the face of the very people who should have been supporting him, instead chose to stand against him. But he never wavered. He never faltered. He never gave up hope. He trusted in God and not in himself. He found confidence in the perennial truths of God, which have perdured and lasted, not in his own wisdom and his own understanding. And at the end of his life, he was celebrated. Celebrated not because he was a good man, although he was that, or an intelligent man, because we know he was not that and he struggled, but because he was a faithful man, a believing man, a constant and diligent man who became a saint of God because he did the things he was supposed to do. A heart ablaze, a mind attuned to God, and then a life well lived day in and day out. So stop looking for something glamorous or interesting. Stop seeking the adulation of men or the congratulations of the world, because neither of those things, not only will they not come, but they're not lasting. You know what it is you ought to do. You have been taught. You have knowledge. And if you lack knowledge and information, then simply fall in love with God and follow his commandments, which are to love him and to love one another. And how beautiful it is that God himself has wrapped all of these realities, a heart ablaze, a mind attuned, and a life that is well lived, into the practice of our faith in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Come to church. Be obedient to God. These are very practical, clear ways that you can do what God commands you to do. Are there some among us who are called to go to far-flung lands and preach the truth? Yes, that is true. There are, because that is the only way that those corners of the world that do not know Christ can come to know him. But there is a heroism, a virtuousness, and a holiness to living quiet, unassuming, and faithful lives. Dying unknown, not heralded by anyone except those that you love, and maybe even by them, not truly known for who you are and what it is that you did. But God who knows, God who sees, God who understands, it will be him who also rewards. And so your task is simple. Your heart is already on fire because you are here at Holy Mass. I know that you continue to grow in the faith because it is my job, Father's job, to teach and admonish and instruct. And so the information and the data is available. So the one task that has been given to you is to go and live this and put it into practice. And in this way, you will be fruitful as God intends your fruitfulness. Not in the way that the world will see it, but by the grace of God, to be who and what God has called you to do. And by that grace, be an instrument for the salvation of the world and for your own sanctification. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.